There's so much to it. So then I preached the Sunday message, Sunday morning message. Many of you were here probably on the tete-a-tete. You remember that? The tete-a-tete? And the more I've been chewing on that, the more I've been thinking about it, the more I realize that there's so much in our relationship with God. There's so much in our relationship with one another that involves communication, which is what a tete-a-tete is. I'll explain that in a minute. So we're going to begin a series on Sunday mornings on communication. And there's a lot the Bible says about communication. We're actually going to look at that. It's an old English word that we have very much limited the way we use it. In fact, when I say we're going to talk about communication, probably every one of you had in your mind that we're going to talk about talking, conversation, you know, with one another. And that really is the way that term is used, and that really is what we're talking about. But you really need to understand the depth of that word to be able to understand some things about communication. So let's go back, first of all, tete-a-tete. Those of you that weren't here, maybe you've never heard that before. It is a French phrase, and Sarah knew that, blew me away. She knew that it literally means head-to-head. We've talked in our house, because my father-in-law, I guess, is the one that I learned it from. By the way, pray for Ed Tomquist. He finally got a diagnosis. As you know, he's been out for over a month here, been battling all kinds of sickness, and the doctors finally told him that he has Lyme's disease. So be praying for him. We're grateful that it was not cancer or other things. So, but you know, a Lyme's disease can really set you back. So please be praying for my father-in-law during this time. Yes, John. T-E-T-E-A-T-E-T-E. Sarah's shaking her head, so that's comforting to me. Because yes, Adjua. You were asking her. Okay. Everyone get that? Tete-a-tete. What is tete-a-tete? Literally, it's a French phrase, and it means head-to-head. And I'm very familiar with that phrase from the Tomquitzes, and my father-in-law would use it all the time to talk about one-on-one time, just times that he and I guess my mother-in-law would spend in just, you know, conversation. And they would call. It was an official thing. We have to have our tete-a-tete time. And it was really an endearing thing. And it just kind of carried over into our home so that whenever my wife and I would have deep times of conversation, we would just call it our tete-a-tete time. And pretty soon it became a habit where we realized that, you know, after breakfast, before I go to work, because usually I'll go and then be there all day, so we'll have a little time where we'll sit down with a cup of coffee and we'll have our tete-a-tete time. And we didn't even realize that it had become such a fixture in our house that a couple weeks ago or a month or two ago, because things were getting busy, one of the kids said, "Hey, Mom and Dad, you haven't been having your tete-a-tete time." And all of a sudden I realized that you're right. We've been so busy that we haven't been having our tete-a-tete time. And again, tete-a-tete means head-to-head. Literally, it means one-on-one conversation. Sometimes our tete-a-tetes end up being tete-a-tete-a-tete-a-tete-a-tete when we have a bunch of kids around. Like I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago. We sat down to have our tete-a-tete, and the kids were there, and they, you know, and we had a great family time, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour of just talking about things, you know, solving the problems of the world. And then when we were done, I thought, well, we really didn't have a tete-a-tete in the technical sense of the term, but I am all for, you know, times of conversation. Obviously, in a marriage, my wife and I, we need to have times where it's just the two of us talking with no interruptions. And technically, that is a tete-a-tete. But I do not mind a tete-a-tete-a-tete-a-tete-a-tete when the other kids are around, because conversation is taking place. And conversation is critical in so many avenues. Now, let me say some things about conversation. And really, our message today, you know, I'm going to take my time through this. We're going to explore various avenues. We're going to make application to various relationships. There's so much to be said about conversation. Conversation is critical for us to be connected with one another, with the people we love, with God. But let me also say some things about conversation. that not all conversation has God's blessing. You know, not all communication has God's blessing. In fact, the Bible tells us, you know, that let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. And the Bible also says in Proverbs, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not, and the word wanteth is an old English word for lacks. So Proverbs says, in the multitude of words, there doesn't lack any sin. In other words, the more we talk, the more we get into trouble. You know, the more we talk, the more words that come out, the more chance there is that we sin. And so there is this matter of something the Bible calls evil speaking. Some people have a lot of communication, but it is not blessed of God because it is all evil speaking. We're going to talk about that down the road as well. You know, there's so many good things about talking about talking, you know, talking about communication. The Bible uses the term communication. And I want to give to you some things. Let me share with you what we're going to focus on today. In fact, I'm going to give you what we're going to talk about, the outline, and then we'll bow in prayer, and then we'll just jump right in. I want to talk about today being hearing impaired. Now, when we think of that, we think of people who have physical limitations that hinders them from being able to hear other people audibly. So when we usually talk about hearing impaired, we're talking about people who have physical limitations. But you know what? That's not the only kind of hearing impaired there are. And we're going to talk about, we're going to use it in more of the figurative sense, that people can be hearing impaired. That is, they because of certain things that we'll address, probably today. Actually, Tom Wolf's coming next week, so the week after that, we're going to talk about what are some of those things that hinder people from being able to hear, so that makes them hearing impaired. Now, look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. The word communicate, again, I told you we tend to limit it, we do limit it to just conversation. You know, hey, did you communicate to her? Did you talk to her? Did you tell her the information? We tend to limit it that way, but the word is so much broader, and when you learn some of the other ways it was used, you'll learn a little more about communication. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 6. The Bible, and this is where it's using the term in the way we use it, the way we understand it. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word. How did someone get taught the word of God? The answer? Communication, right? I am communicating to you right now. You're being taught, hopefully. When you got witness to it, if you are saved, if you're a born-again believer, somebody communicated the gospel to you. Maybe it was directly from a track. 475 tracks were given out. At least 475 tracks, plus all the ones we handed out. The rest of us, you know, you think about that. That's a lot of gospel presentations going out. That's a lot of communication that we are praying will be read. We're praying it'll be read. That people will read those tracts. That in simple ways tell them that they need a Savior. That they have sinned. And that Jesus Christ is their opportunity to be saved and be right with God. How important. There is no greater communication. Am I right? There's no greater communication. So let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth. Isn't that interesting? Now you might think that the verse would be worded this way. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that listens. or unto him that is a student in all good things. But it doesn't say that. And you know what it reminds me of? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, which says this. You ready? You sure? You think I'm delaying, don't you? Because the word, you think that the verse slipped my mind, don't you? You do. Go ahead, admit it. Because you're right. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, Paul said, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Is that not what Galatians 6:6 is saying? Look at it. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth. That's 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul said to Timothy, again, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, what I'm teaching you, you take and you now teach, you now communicate to other people. That's what's been happening, folks, since that first century when the gospel went forth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I want to talk about this simple form of communication. In fact, you've heard me say this. I hope I say it enough that I get it in your head. It is a summary of what Christianity is. In other words, foundational truth that Christianity, Jesus Christ, Christianity is basically understanding that, number one, there is a God. It's the foundation of Christianity, that there is a God. But that's not all. Because you can be an agnostic and believe that. In fact, this second premise is what distinguishes us from the agnostic. We believe there's a God, but then here's the second part of Christianity, and that he has made himself known to man. That those are the foundational principles of Christianity, that there is a God, but not just that there's a God up there in heaven, the divine clockmaker, but that he has made himself known to us. He has communicated. How did he do it? He did it through Jesus Christ, and he does it through his written word. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about being dull of hearing. And again, when we think of that, we think of physical limitations. I tell you, I regret growing up and the hours and hours that I spent, and many of you would share this as part of your testimony. I had a God that was not the God as a young boy. And my God, my idol was rock music and rock musicians. I had posters in my bedroom. And interesting that all the rock heroes that I had were all long-haired freaks. And I wanted to look just like them. I could not get my hair long enough because my mom made me get a haircut. But you know what? I spent hours, folks, destroying my ears. You know, my dad got so frustrated one time. Now, they had headphones back then, you know, the big kind. They had headphones. I put the headphones on and I'd listen for hours. Other times I'd just blast the music. One time my dad got so frustrated he removed the hinges on my bedroom door because they'd call me for dinner and I'd be oblivious. And the nature of the music I listened to was loud, the louder the better. And, you know, one of the things about your ears, hearing, is it doesn't come back. When you damage your ears, it does not heal itself. And so to this day, I am hearing impaired because of it. And it's caused great frustration in my family because of that. But again, the other kind of hearing impairment is for somebody to be communicating, but you're not receiving it. That is, someone is communicating, trying to get something into your brain, and it's not getting through. Now, one of the greatest examples of that is the gospel. The gospel is out there. The gospel is clear. It is being broadcast. It is being shared. But folks, some people, it just goes over their heads. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul begins in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. For which things also we speak. Here's communication. By the way, the very core idea of that term, let me give it to you. I'm going to give you some definitions here. To communicate is to impart or to give to another. Not just speaking. That's included. But when you communicate, to understand the fullness of that word, when you communicate, you are imparting or you are giving to another, or as the dictionary says, it is to confer for joint possession. So communication is conferring. For example, Paul uses that word to describe financial gifts that are given. Somebody gives, they're sharing their bounty with someone else, and they are communicating their finances. And that term is a perfectly good term to use for that. When you understand that communication isn't just, in fact, one quote I came across that was very clever is, most conversations are simply monologues delivered in the presence of a witness. You know what that means, right? You know, in other words, someone's talking. It's a monologue. And it's just they're talking. It's in the presence of a witness. But there's really not conversation. There's really not communication going on. Which brings out a point. But let's go back to this. God has communicated. There is a God. He has made himself known to man. How's he done that? Well, in a general way, he has done it through creation. Do you know that there is enough communication from God apart from the Bible to condemn someone in creation and their conscience? Remember what Romans 1:20 says? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. You get what God is saying? In creation, the heavens declare the glory of God. You go outside and you look at creation, and God is giving you a message. I exist. So much so, Romans 1:20 says, so that they are without excuse. That means that everyone on the face of the earth that walks outside of their abode, their home, sees the handiwork of God. Now, if you reject that and you say there is no God, it'd be as ridiculous as if I were to bring in a beautiful painting. I love this illustration. If I were to bring in a beautiful painting, and it was, let's say, it was I love Norman Rockwell. What a great artist! And I were to say to you, what do you think of this canvas? What's on here? You're not going to believe the way it came about. I had all these in my shed. I had a canvas. I was going to paint something. Didn't get around to it. Had all these paint cans laying around. And all of a sudden, it was a real hot day, and an explosion took place in my shed. And I walked in, and look, there it is. It just appeared. That explosion from the paint cans produced that picture. What would you think of me? Would you believe that? Would you? Some of you are saying, I don't know. Do you think that's ever going to happen, where an explosion in a shed with a bunch of paint cans is going to end up as a Norman Rockwell? No. Yet isn't that what people are asking us to do? When they step outside their window and look at the beautiful creation of God and they say, wow, it was a big explosion. Since when did an explosion ever create anything of order and beauty. It never did. But get a hold, folks. God is communicating. He is shouting, I exist. Second way he's communicating, through our conscience. Romans chapter 1 and 2 tells us that each one of us have the law of God written in our hearts. So much so that if you never knew the Ten Commandments or God's law, you would know if you stole something that didn't belong to you as a kid, you'd know it was wrong. If you did something, you harmed someone, you know it's wrong because God has given you a conscience. Now that's what's called general revelation. You cannot know Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary by just looking at the mountains. But you can know there's a God. Now look at Rome, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In other words, God has made himself known to man. Now look at verse 13, which things also we speak. See what Paul's saying? He's saying not only has God made himself known to man, but it's been in an understandable way so that we can communicate it. You know, some people are so the mystics about God that they communicate, they believe you really can't. God is a mystical being and we'll never be able to understand him. He's kind of a mystery. Well, you know what? That goes against what the Bible proclaims. Paul says, not only has God revealed himself, but we're able to understand it so we can speak it. Verse 13 again, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now look at verse 14. But the natural man. What is the natural man? A natural man is someone that is unregenerate. Someone that does not have the Spirit of God living inside them. We would call them, the Bible uses the term saved. We refer to someone that hasn't been saved as unsaved, right? Doesn't that make sense? That's the natural man. Well, what's it say about the natural man? Because every one of us were that at one point, were we not? Listen, folks, nobody is born a Christian. You must be born again. And if you're not born again, you are a natural man or a natural woman. Every one of us are born in trespasses and sins. We are born at enmity with God. And until the new birth takes place, until we are born again, we are unsaved natural people. Look what it says about this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. This is the claim. If you are not born again, you do not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The revelation, the communication that he was just talking about, that he is preaching. So it'd be like the things in the Bible. The Bible. Again, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What's that mean? They don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, they're hearing impaired. It's not that God hasn't spoken. It's that they are hearing impaired. And it explains further what that means. For they are foolishness unto him. You know, one of the signs of someone being spiritually hearing impaired is that the things of God are foolishness unto them. Paul put it this way, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's when someone hears the gospel and they mock it. And that's one of the responses. You ever hear somebody mock and make fun of the gospel? In fact, we were at Teen Week at the Wilds this week. And boy, the Lord did a great work in the kids' hearts. God uses Morris Gleiser in such an incredible way when he preaches the word. That man is so beloved by those teens. And we're going to have him here in a couple months. You make sure you come every service. God is using Morris Glaser. But you know what? Every time there's a teen week, every time there's an evangelist, kids seem to get saved, get right with God, but you always have at least a few that are not into it. Some of them quietly mock it. This is stupid drivel. You know, because the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Jesus died on the cross for sins? That's kind of a silly thing. You know, they used to call it, they used to slander evangelical born-again Christians and call it, oh, it's a slaughterhouse religion. They probably still do. I haven't seen that in a while. You got a slaughterhouse religion. Talking about blood, Jesus shedding his blood. That's gross. What kind of God would do that? That's mocking. That's the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They don't get it. By the way, expect that. Matthew chapter 13 says, when the seed is scattered, you're going to get various responses. You are going to get seed that falls by the wayside and doesn't produce anything. Be prepared. For example, we handed out, 475 tracts on Thursday night? I already know from experience that at least a few of those tracts ended up on the ground. Every Thursday night when we're there, I end up, you know, I look, but I end up picking out a couple tracts. Some of them are still usable. I'm totally into recycling when it comes to tracks. But some of them, in fact, one guy did something disgusting. I think he like spit or something or blew his nose and closed the track. And that was gross. But, you know, that's someone that he looks at the preaching of the cross and he says that's foolishness. And that's a man that mocks it and disdains it. That is a person that is hearing impaired. I said, man, I really don't know because I didn't see them do it. I only saw the result. But that is someone that is hearing impaired. They don't receive the preaching of the cross. Let's look at verse 14. Their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. You know, the gospel, it's the seed that falls by the wayside where someone hears the most precious message in all the world, that Jesus Christ loved them and God gave his son to die on the cross. It's a message that has become so very dear to us. It's the only thing that means I'm not going to hell. It's the only thing that means you're not going to hell if you're born again. And the preaching of the cross unto us which are saved is the power of God. We love it. There's a hymn. I love to tell the story. How else does it go? Who wants to sing it today? I love to tell the story of unseen things foretold of Jesus and his glory of Jesus and... Hey, you're pretty good there. Amen. Isn't that a great song? We can stop. I know. Because pretty soon we're all going to drop out, you know. But what a great truth. I love to tell the story, and I love to hear the story. What a blessing. We did a 10-minute video of the Wilds. They do a little synopsis. And they did little clips of Morris Glaser and Rand Hummel and Josh preaching. And it's so awesome to hear somebody preaching the word and knowing that people that need it are hearing it. It's blessed. But again, people are going to be hearing impaired. They're not going to have the ability to receive it. Be ready for that. Don't get discouraged by that. Don't get offended by that. Did you get saved the first time you heard? I think back to before I was saved. And I'm not exactly sure. It would not surprise me if somebody had tried to witness to me before. I do remember dating a girl who should never have dated me because I wasn't saved. But they were saved, and they brought me to a church group. Probably, now that I look back on it, she was probably hoping I'd get saved. But I don't remember what they talked about. But I now know it is gospel preaching church. So I probably heard the gospel there, but... You know, it probably just went right over my head. Maybe I heard it some other time. But it wasn't until I regularly attended a Saturday morning Bible study that it eventually began to sink in. At first, I didn't think it was anything different than my church experience on Sundays, which went in one ear and out the other. I thought, oh, this is the same thing. And then it began to dawn on me, week after week of hearing the gospel, wait a minute, this is not what I heard growing up. I began to understand the gospel message. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Praise God, for when the Spirit of God draws someone to himself and begins to open their eyes to show them that they're in need of a Savior, they need to repent and be born again. But you know, there's another kind of hearing impairment that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. And it has to do with one another. It has to do with one another. I want to share an experience that's ingrained in my mind simply because this has become the norm. And I do not separate myself from this man because I know that all men, we have weaknesses, just like all ladies. You know, everyone has their own weakness. And men, when it comes to relationships, tend to be a little dense. But here's the picture. Every couple times during a month, there was a market down the end of the road where we live on Shadeland Avenue. It's called Travers Market. And we get our lunch meat and stuff from Travers Market. And it's kind of a family-owned business, one of the last dinosaurs in America. And there was a man, there's regulars that go in there. And, you know, we get kind of close. And there was a man that actually Bob Brennan witnessed to when he was here many, many years ago. And he was a regular, and he was a precious man, and he knows some of my family. And to my knowledge, he's not saved. But super likable guy, just jovial, jolly, nice guy. And, you know, I would see him regularly when we would go into Travers, and we'd do small talk. He'd say, hey, how's your dad? And, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'll never forget this happened. He was in his 70s. It happened several years ago. He has now passed on. But I'll never forget. One day I was in there. He was getting his coffee. And he wasn't smiling and bright-eyed. He had the look. You knew that something devastating had happened to him. He was quiet, not smiling. And I will never forget. He took me aside, and he said, my wife left me. And this is what he said. He said, I never saw it coming. And he really meant that. I mean, he was so devastated. He said, I could tell. He looked so helpless. He looked like a little puppy dog. But you know what, folks? I've heard it so many times. That I guarantee you, and I don't know this, I've not talked to his wife, but I've seen it over and over and over again. I guarantee you that if you went to his wife and said, did you ever try to communicate that there were problems? Here's probably something she'd say. Did I ever try? What are you, crazy? I've been trying to tell him for years. You know, it's kind of the way we are, you know? I mean, other than shaking us, you know, guys, we tend to not be able to read women too well. You can call us dense. We prefer to call it manly or something. But you know what? In relationships, not just with guys and girls, but in all relationships, there is the danger of being hearing impaired, where someone is trying to communicate to us, and we don't get it. I use that relationship because, again, I'm a guy. And I remember early on, I humble myself to share this to you, and I still don't get gals completely. I'm learning, and we all need a learning curve, don't we? But I remember one time years back, when it began to dawn on me, and I had, we were having, like, I guess you'd now call it a tete-a-tete, you know, and my wife was sharing her heart, but the way I interpreted it as is, this guy is in the doghouse. Now, guys, I know you've never been in that situation before, but I will never forget it. She was sharing her heart, and I was letting her go. You know, this, I was listening, and I may be unusual. Maybe you all are different, but, you know, I never like criticism. Do you? Do any of you really enjoy it? I know it's necessary, but I'm not real crazy when people are, like, pointing out my weaknesses. It kind of, it's embarrassing. It's hard. It's hard to take. You know, that, what? I'm not perfect? What? You mean there's a chink in my armor? No! Couldn't be! But I remember listening, and she was sharing her heart. And I remember thinking, man, I am down. I think I'm whoo, you know, like, she's just sharing her heart. And I'm listening, and really, honestly, now that I look back on it, she was absolutely right. Absolutely right. Never would have admitted it then. Never. But I heard her out. And apparently this was like one of the first times I had done this, and we had been married for several years already. And I just listened. And then we were finally done the conversation. I was exhausted, you know, and I just listened. And I'm sitting there feeling defeated, and I'm like, oh, boy. Wonder how many times I'm going to have to go out and buy roses now, you know. And all of a sudden, this was the last thing I was expecting. Again, and it's just a guy-girl thing. It's the last thing I was expecting. And all of a sudden, you know, her countenance, this huge smile came over her face. Was the oddest thing. If you had just heard the conversation and you knew what had happened, this huge smile came over her face. And she looked at me in the most loving way, which is kind of odd. Again, what's wrong with this picture, you know? And this huge smile came over her face, and she said, thank you so much. I did something right. And she communicates. She said, thank you so much. You listened to me. That's all I needed. And it really was. I could tell from that moment on. It was as if I had never been closer to my wife ever. Our heartstrings were tied. We were in instant communion. We're going to talk about how communion and communication, same root word. We were in instant communion. And It was a revelation for this dense guy that I share often, because guys need this. Do you know, if you're married, and this probably applies in many other areas too, our wives are not always looking for us to agree with us. They just want to know that they've been heard. They just want to know that we heard them out, and that we understood what they were saying. That was the great victory that day. That was it. Again, I'm thinking, loser, you know, man, my marriage is in big trouble, and here I am scoring points. Because all I did was listen. And maybe I must have communicated something that showed her that, you know what, I understand what you're saying. And that's all she needed. I did not realize this then. She didn't need me to agree with her. Which I think when you get into a family spat, you know, you're kind of thinking it's this side versus that side. And that's really not what communication is all about, folks. Tying heartstrings and communion and communication is really about sharing together. In fact, that word is at the root of the word communication. And that we're going to find in the next few months, next few weeks at least, that is critical. In our relationships, in our church relationships, it's critical. Let me close with this. It's an experience I've had, maybe because of or not because of my own inclinations, but I've noticed that, in fact, I'll share an experience from years ago, family that's no longer with us, that they had a problem. Apparently, It was someone that was serving in the church, and they didn't feel like I was using them enough. And my heart is, and this is not a good thing, but my heart is, if I have the gift of serving, I want to take other people's loads, and I don't want to overload people. And I'm so conscious of that. That doesn't mean we haven't done that in the past. But I'm so sensitive to that. And this person was an older person, and I wanted to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, they're not in their prime anymore. I didn't have a clue, folks. Now, apparently this had been bubbling in their heart for a long, long time. And, you know, I'm oblivious to it. How am I supposed to know? We do not read minds, do we? Anybody here read minds? Once in a while you might guess something correctly, but we are not mind readers. And I want to tell you, I was devastated. I was totally blindsided when this person, the family came in, basically dropped everything on my desk. They said, we're done. We're not coming back to church anymore. Here's why. And it just totally broadsided me. I had no idea they were struggling with that. And you know what? In all fairness, it's really unkind. Here you've got these expectations, and you've never communicated them to me. If I had known, you know, I would have worked with that. But you know what? If we don't communicate, can we really expect things from other people? Sometimes our expectations are hidden demands that can't be worked out unless it's brought up. And we're going to talk in the next few weeks about, there have been so many scientific studies done, and there's information for us to glean. One of the sources that I've learned a lot from, although I disagree with their conclusions, but it was just a scientific study that was done across the nation of thousands of couples. And what they did was they tracked them over their marriage years, and they noticed common denominators. You know, so many of these couples would divorce in 10 years. So many of them ended up, after 20 years, having successful marriages. And there were common denominators that there's a lot for us to learn with that. And what they found was that, and I guess you're only going to have two kinds of people in a relationship, but they found that generally there's two kinds of people in a relationship when it comes to dealing with problems. That one of the couple usually tends to be a fleer, and that's me, by the way. A fleer is someone that doesn't like confrontation, because to them, confrontation means things aren't right, we got a problem. And then there's a pursuer. You know what a pursuer is? That's a person that when there's a problem, they got to drop everything, they want to deal with it right away because they want to work it out. But if you got a fleer and a pursuer, and again, these are just scientific things they've observed. We're going to kind of sift that through Scripture because I'm convinced that it's true. If you are a fleer and your wife is a pursuer, you're going to think she's constantly trying to pick fights with you because she wants to bring up a problem. And if you're a fleer, you're thinking, oh, man, she wants to fight again. And she really doesn't. She just wants to have intimacy with you and communicate and have closeness, have communion. But if you're a fleer, you're not giving her the opportunity to do that. That's not a good thing. Conversation stops. Communication stops in that scenario. But we'll talk more about that in the future. But you got to come back. This is one of those series where if you miss one, you're going to be so lost. You're going to come here and you're going to hear me preach. You're going to think, wow, it's like he's speaking a different language. Oh, I wish I came back. I wish I had never missed a service. Oh, I should have been here. So, I'm partially being joking there. But please come back, and we're going to talk about this and hopefully be a blessing and give you some stuff that can really help you. Let's bow together in prayer. Father.